Thanks for joining us on the Blue Baggers podcast after a 26-point loss to the Geelong Cats. I'm Chris and I'm joined in the Blue Bagger basement by Andy. How you doing, Andy?
Good, Chris. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. What did you make of the game?
Disappointing game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, we'll obviously delve into the reasons why that might have been the case, but a 26-point loss to the Cats, which is it's right in that margin of us playing top eight teams for the year, isn't it? Between that sort of 20 and 30 point margin.
That was a disappointing aspect, but obviously the goal kicking early in the disposal efficiency or kicking efficiency for the game was just absolutely under the standard. So we say it every week, you can only win by kicking more goals, and credit to Geelong, who's a better side than us, but they could convert goals when it mattered and we couldn't.
Yeah, I think the worrying sign is this our performance against the top eight teams, and we've lost to all of them. We've only beaten teams that are towards the bottom of the ladder. If you just look at the list, GWS Giants, which is probably our most disappointing loss, I think,
easily,
for the year. That in Collingwood, obviously, was a 36-point loss. We lost to Port by 28. We lost to Melbourne by 26. We lost to Geelong by 26. Richmond, 25. Sydney, 22. West Coast, 22. Collingwood, 21. Brisbane, 18. Western Bulldogs, 16. So, right in that range, we just can't take it up to the top eight teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, you mentioned goal kicking. Terrible. No other way to describe it. 11 points in a row at one stage of the match.
Yep. With only the one goal to SPS, wasn't it, in the first quarter?
Yeah, and you're talking about a team that was, the sort of short of firepower potentially in the forward line. You've got to make the most of your chances, and you're not going to win games of football kicking inaccurately like that. 11 points in a row. I mean, we've had some games where we've seen some games where we've kicked inaccurately, but nothing like that.
Well, when we're saying it was it one goal 11 at one point, and we're saying, well, that could, if that's 9 goals 3 or 8 goals 4, I mean, that makes a huge difference. And we were just trailing Geelong pretty much the first half, definitely. And if a couple of those points are goals, there's a buffer of about 14 points.
Yeah, it changes the whole perspective of the game. That first quarter particularly, we should have probably been 2-3 goals up. We weren't, and then we were chasing our tails for the rest of the game. And it was all sorts of misses, wasn't it? Set shots, easy set shots, and go down the other end, and they would kick accurately. And generally, that's the difference. You get 6 points for a goal, 1 point for a behind. There's a big discrepancy between the two.
Absolutely.
What about kicking efficiency? Something
poor for the game. And we're looking at the stats before, we noted that it was, and this is where stats are misleading, 72% disposal efficiency to Geelong 76, but that incorporates obviously handballs, which have always got a higher efficiency. Our kicking efficiency, was it in the first quarter or midway through the second? We were down around the 57 mark, or that's crazy.
And missing easy targets, lots of turnover kicks within that. So I'm not buying that 76%.
I think we said the
disposal efficiency.
And the mid-season break, I think we said we're the second or the worst, maybe behind North Melbourne. Well, I think we might have overtaken them as the worst kicking efficiency team. And how can we pretend that we're a finals team if that's the statistic, considering we've got good players who should have good disposal?
Our skill level was low for the game, and it was very clear to see. So yeah, it is a concern, it's a worry, and we've said it before, for a team that's game plan has been built around holding onto the ball and using it by foot and keeping possession, it's a real worry. And there's a couple of those really sort of clear turnovers we saw in the middle of the ground coming out of defensive 50 that really hurt us and cost us. But I thought our kicking on the night was very, very average. Inside 50 efficiency, good though.
In terms of
when we actually scores for entries.
But again, what does it matter when they're scoring shots, but the scoring shots didn't matter in the end because that was such a poor efficiency.
I still think it's something that's a point out that there was some efficiency going forwards, and it was
which just shows it, again, it's the kicking efficiency in front of goal that really hurt us.
So I think we were down maybe 15 inside 50s for them at the end of the match.
About that,
and obviously had a far higher sort of efficiency than Geelong did, so we didn't get it in there that often. When we did, we generally got a score from it. Unfortunately, those scores were generally points.
Yep. Yeah, that's it.
So we start the game. The game starts, and we've got no Levi Casbolt or Jones, who were named in the team. And in their to replace them. In their place were Williamson and Setterfield. What were your thoughts about that pre-game?
I didn't think Casbolt was going to be in the game.
Were you shocked? I think about our last podcast.
I was very
podcast.
Shocked, yeah. I was shocked.
I thought they were going to select him, even though we all know yeah, that did. They shouldn't
no,
have.
And I said he shouldn't be because it would
and
be...
you didn't think they would, though,
I said
you?
It'd be a dent to the integrity of the selection process, but I said nothing would surprise me with Carlton, and alas, I was not surprised again. Casbolt out because of soreness, apparently, and same
knee
with
soreness.
Jones. Williamson came in, who had been dropped for Williams, and Setterfield in. I mean, two talls out. We don't have. We'll talk about how our injury list looking at the moment with the talls in our team. But unfortunately, who do you replace with Casbolt and Jones?
Two talls out, and we've got issues. We've got injuries. Two talls, as you've mentioned. The Williamson makes sense to me. I was more critical last week of bringing him into the team, a bloke who's under. You know, out of form,
yep.
Lacking confidence. He comes back in, that makes sense. You know, he does have some hype, but he's a backman. He's going to come in, and we don't have the options otherwise. Will Setterfield coming in, though, after injury, not playing through the seconds, and after having a pretty average year to date?
Well,
that surprise you?
Well, yeah, it did a bit, but I'll have a look at the emergency. We had Matty Cottrell, Zach Fisher, Will Setterfield and Williamson to come in. Obviously, Williamson comes in from that. What are you saying? You're more inclined to play as Zach Fisher?
I was surprised by the emergencies in a way to start with anyway.
Yeah.
That he was listed there as an emergency.
Well,
and
I think
again,
we're all...
we failed to see Honey and Ramsey
yep.
listed there. They would have been the obvious ones for me. I don't think you can bring anyone outside the emergency, can you? And if you
no.
do, you've got to pay a fine.
No,
it
was going to be Matt Cottrell, Zach Fisher, Will Setterfield, and Tom Williamson. So there wasn't a huge selection in terms of
replacing. I still would have
replacing.
Thought Cottrell would be ahead. I'm guessing Fisher wasn't right.
Well, then why would then don't name him as an emergency.
That's the odd part of it. Maybe they were.
He has to be right
chance.
To go if he's named.
You'd think so, but it's a surprise that they wouldn't go with him. But obviously, I don't think, particularly the latter, paid off. It's unfortunate. We are in a situation. We've reviewed the list. We've had a look there. We think we've got probably 10 genuine talls on the list at the moment. And only three are available for selection at the moment based on the most recent game, which is just astounding. We've only got three talls that are fit and ready to go on our list. You think you've got Wietering in there, you've got De Koning and Mackay. They're the three that are available.
Yep.
Missing Jones, Pittenet, McGovern, Casbolt, McDonald, Charlie Curnow, Marchbank. I think we've got some depth issues anyway, but particularly with those injuries. It's 30% of our talls on the list.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because it's not like we don't have them on the list. They're just unavailable through injury, which, you know, we've talked about injuries being a massive issue this year. Haven't been able to get blokes onto the park a lot, but I think we're talking about...
Were we on a hiding to nothing then, based on that, going into the game? Realistically, should our expectations have been changed knowing that we had such a limited supply of tools to pick from and we've only got three available and all three of those played, we're going to be undersized?
Yep.
I mean, you look at it that way, there's little wonder, I guess, that Geelong took the win home, you know, apart from all the other points, which we've mentioned or will mention. That's pretty significant.
And in terms of the game, we obviously were going to play a smaller game. Because we had all these tools missing. Would you, from that perspective, be more inclined to play someone like a Zach Fisher rather than a Setterfield and really kind of try and expose Geelong in terms of smalls and speed rather than, you know, you're taking out putting in a Setterfield who's tall but slow?
Bring in sort of an inside midfielder when you've got Cripps playing, you've got
Kennedy
in the
Dow.
Team already, and you've got Matty Cottrell's the other one you could have gone. You can run. You know, plenty of Ks during a game. He's going to give you a lot of run and drive that way. So if you were looking for a bit of speed and some extra run, I would have thought the logical decision would have been going with him instead. So
Or Fisher to play an on-ball kind of half-forward role. So when we put it that way, I'd say that probably Setterfield, out of that, all the people on the emergency list, was the worst person to put in, given that we were going to play a taller team.
We'll touch on his performance soon, but you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. But we're agreeing that he shouldn't have been selected in the first place, and then we'll judge his game based on what he displayed there. Therefore, with all those injuries and the talls out or unavailable for selection.
Yep.
How do you feel David Teague coached or the coaching panel coached if you're going to sort of assess their performance on the night?
It is very hard to assess. One, because two late outs to... one of them being very important.
We're probably saying there's a fail with selection then to start with.
Yes. Yeah? Okay. Yeah. So we could say that's a fail, but it's also, you know, yeah, you need to be prepared for late outs and late outs to good players. Not that Caswell's been that good, but Jones is obviously very important. Lucky they had Cameron out, is all I can say as well. It's also very hard to assess coaching when we did have a lot of shots on goal and the game could have been different. And you just, you know, I know that we say the coach has to have control over the team, but at the end of the day, he can't control the kicking.
He doesn't
kick the footy, and we saw some really, really ordinary misses and some really ordinary shots and goals. So was it a coaching issue? No, it really wasn't. But how did you find the... It's hard to assess.
I agree with you. It's very hard. And if you look at it, realistically, the back line stood up and performed very admirably. They, with the amount of ball coming in and what they conceded, they did a fantastic job.
Yep.
Forward line couldn't convert, so that's a fail there. And the midfield, ho-hum, it's been our sort of Achilles heel for the year, but it looks like it's getting better. Clearances were all more evenly matched that way. So in terms of coaching, it's a bit tricky, and you're right, the coach doesn't go back and kick the set shot for goal.
And this is very frustrating for Carlton supporters, because we want to go from after each week, from now on, particularly because of all this review and there's so much heat on Teague and possibilities kind of in the background, that we want to be able to come away from a game and go, that was a great coaching performance or that was a poor coaching performance. And this game, I think it's just really muddied.
Yeah, absolutely. Hard for us to assess, you know, from the cheap seats, I guess, and it probably takes someone, hopefully, there are people that are far more educated at assessing and analysing these things than us. But good luck to them in regards to the review and the assessment there, because I think I absolutely agree with you. It's a tough week to assess the coaching performance. What we can assess, though, is some individual performances of players, and I'm just going to roll off a couple of names at you. You can talk about them individually as a group,
yep,
your choice, but SPS, Jack Martin, centre fielders we've discussed, Lachlan Fogarty. Poor performances. Yeah. I've highlighted them out based on that personally, and there's different reasons for each of them. Am I missing anybody that could be lumped in to that category?
I think we're hearing a lot from our kind of social medias is Noons has been thrown into that.
Yeah, a lot of people that have him there. A lot of people probably have Plowman there as well, but that would be week to week regardless. Yeah. But I mean, do you want to look at them individually and just let's go SPS.
Yep.
So I think for the night, he ended up with 17 disposals. Mm-hmm. So based on his standards, that's probably above average.
Yeah.
He found the football a bit more. I didn't realise he'd got quite as many disposals there, but I think his impact was low and we watched very closely. He was the one player we chose to spend the evening focusing on, particularly around clearances and what he was doing, his running patterns there. I mean, what are your thoughts? Because I thought, personally, he looked a bit lost, and he's always looking around and looking for man positioning, and quite often he looks very much out of position, and he's there. He might be near the contest, but he's not actually impacting it in any way. Is that unfair?
No, I don't think that's unfair. We did watch it was a positional kind of issue, I think, for him. There was a few times when it wasn't goal side of the opponent. One thing I did notice this game was, and Setterfield, you know, he's got that kind of quality, I suppose, where he can sidestep and show a bit of magic at times, because he's such a silky kind of player. But a few times we noticed the body didn't follow. You know, he throws the arm out to try and tap something in, which is amazing if it works. Yeah. If it works, it looks great. It didn't work over the weekend. There was a few times when, and I noticed this with Setterfield as well, waiting for the ball to come to them. You got to run and attack the ball, because it looks great if, you know, like I said, the ball can bounce up and you can do a nice tap, but we're focusing on SPS. He did a few taps. There are times where you've got to put your body in line.
And I don't think
he did. Yeah, I don't think he did.
No matter how miraculous you are, you know, Eddie Betts style, he still does it.
Yeah.
He still puts his body in. There are times when you have to do it. We didn't see that happen from SPS. And then when it doesn't work, it looks really bad.
Yeah.
So look, I know, 17 disposals, 170 metres gained in those 17. So that's not surprising, as we know that he doesn't take a lot of ground with his disposals that way. But it's more my concern is when he doesn't have the ball or when he's trying to sort of collect the ball. And I thought he was poor in those areas, particularly for someone, as we know, is so skillful and should be having more of an impact.
Yep.
Jack Martin?
Jack Martin's been down this year. I think there's an...
He's not right, is he?
I just don't think he's either fit because he's missed so much time through injury.
We know he was taped up. Both his legs are taped up, you know, 2-3 weeks ago. Maybe only one of his legs. Now, there's got to be something he's still carrying through, surely. But regardless of that, he's being selected. He's putting his hand up. He's passing medicals. He's not giving us a lot.
I think maybe, you know, do the coaching and the selection team think that him at 80% is better than probably a lot of people at 100? Probably. I mean, he does have an X factor to him. We've seen him turn games in quarters. But
not unfortunately, that often in Carlton colours and not for a full game.
No, but he definitely doesn't look like himself.
He's not. He doesn't look damaging or threatening.
And he's been, you know, such a ferocious tackler usually. I just don't think we're not seeing that as much because I just think he's kind of gassed after big efforts. So that says to me that he's not fit. And I think that that's as a result of him missing so much football.
We're talking about a player here that's conceivably on $750,000 a year. That's the difference. And that's the disappointing element here. We're carrying him at the moment and probably have carried him all year. You don't want to be carrying players on that income, that pay.
No.
You can understand, you know, teams always carry players. We understand that. They're not all stars. They're not all performing week in, week out. But usually those players are on about $150,000, not $750,000.
I think as a collective, Carlton supporters are fed up on these high-paid players because we've got quite a lot of them who aren't performing at the level they should. McGovern, arguably Williams at the moment, Jack Martin, Setterfield.
It's interesting. I mean, is he getting a game at the moment because the fact that we're paying him so much and he's come in with that reputation? Because
I still think he's obviously in the best 22 and we don't have a lot at the moment forward. So I think we're probably trying to rely on him as that person that can give us an option, but at the moment he's not doing it. So I'd be inclined to let him rest for the rest of the year as I would with a couple of players that I think are just carrying injuries.
Will Setterfield, we've had a bit of a discussion, but let's go and sort of dive into that a little bit more. Yeah. My concern is, what is he bringing to this side
at the moment? Not a lot.
You mentioned before, when you're talking about SPS, about getting in a position and not extending the arms and waiting for the ball to come to him. We saw that multiple occasions where he was just willing to stand there, let the ball come to him while his defender came in sport. All he had to do is extend the arms out, keep his butt out a little bit.
The Jared Waite, exactly.
Jared Waite. Move, and he just didn't. And they were costly turnovers there because he just wasn't hungry enough to extend the arms and to meet the football rather than wait for it to come. We know he doesn't have explosive speed.
No.
Endurance probably isn't brilliant. He's not terrible, but he's not brilliant. He's not clean by hand or foot. He fumbles. And for a bloke who's his size and his frame, he's still yet... You know, everyone keeps talking about how strong... He is, and he's a big-bodied midfielder. He hasn't grown into that, and he's not displaying that. So he's not giving us that strength either.
And just to add on to that, I don't see him going forward and kicking goals, and I don't see him being much of a protector for Cripps.
We're playing him on a wing, which is not utilising, you know, any of his strengths or potential strengths there. So I thought he had a really, really dirty night. Probably in the side, it's tougher to come into the team as a last-minute sort of emergency. Coming in, you cut a bit of slack for that, but even still, he was well below par. And again, another one we absolutely carried. He had a stinker.
Yeah, I think
Lachlan Fogarty. Speaking of stinkers,
he's been down for a number of weeks now.
Started the season on fire. You know, we're all hyped and excited that we'd got a recruit in, hadn't paid much, and he was going to be the surprise packet. Had a really good first half of the season. Started sort of waning a little bit, and I think he was managed, let's say dropped, managed, whatever you want, back into the team. He's just, the output is not quite there. He had 7 disposals. He had as many tackles as he had disposals. Seven,
yeah.
So, you know, he's attacking the body. He's doing the right things that way. But for a bloke like him to be getting seven disposal, it's another passenger at the moment that we are carrying.
I do like the high level of tackles, but he's not doing enough. And it makes me wonder, was that managed actually, you know, we at the time said it was an omission, but is he managing? Is he 80%? Is he 85%? Is there some sort of niggling injury we don't know about? And frankly, Carlton can't afford not to be playing players because our injury list is almost as big as our playing list at the moment. So
has his exposure at AFL level got other clubs learning about potentially some of his weaknesses or how you can play him as well? Whereas previously at Geelong, he hadn't had sort of the same run as he has at Carlton.
Do you think many opposition clubs are putting too much?
No, but I mean, you're talking about a lot of assistant coaches that do a lot of game analysis and preview that way. So perhaps he's getting sort of found out a little bit there. Who knows?
They're four players that, and for different reasons. You know, I think Fogarty and Martin, obviously, I don't think they're going to have any issues in the terms of the future. Setterfield, you know, there is a big question mark over what's going to happen with him and SPS, obviously.
Well, the interesting thing is we've brought Matt Kennedy in the team, and we've said we've played both of them with Cripps this week. But Kennedy is far and above outperforming.
I'd take
Will
Kennedy
Setterfield
over
now.
Setterfield, yeah.
Kennedy's on a one-year rookie contract, having been delisted and picked up. Setterfield's on for pretty good money.
Yep.
For somebody without the exposed form. So, yeah, take Kennedy moving forwards at this stage.
At this stage, I would be,
absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely, you would.
I'd be more focused. If it's out of, and we're talking about those contested midfielders within Dow, Kennedy and Setterfield, Setterfield's number three for me in terms of priorities, yep.
Which is interesting because we will be making list changes. We can't continue forward with the same, 45 odd players that we have.
No, not at all.
This year. So it's fascinating. And, you know, kudos to Kennedy for getting back in the team and for producing. But the thing that we know about Kennedy is he's slow, like Setterfield, but he's cleaner and he can take the grab.
Took a beautiful overhead mark yesterday.
Yeah,
as well.
And we were worried. We were talking about going to the game. We knew obviously we were going to be down on height and we're lacking those talls, but the one thing we said to each other, at least we have a couple of midfielders who are good above their shoulders and can take marks, which gives them a bit of a point of difference,
yep.
Which is obviously Kennedy and Paddy Cripps.
Yep.
Liam Stocker, obviously one horrendous kick in, which is a turnover, just I don't even know what part of the body the ball...
It's almost like a check side.
Came off.
The check side, yep.
You know, not a great look. A lot of players would go into their shell after that. You know, you're on in the big stage, lights, big crowd there. You go into your shell, you might not want it. What does he do? Steps up, repeats the kick several times later. And I thought that was a great sign and show of his confidence and his willingness to back himself and sort of, you know, yeah, like I said, not go into his shell, but seize the moment and do the same thing. And it worked. So I thought that was fantastic to see a younger player have the confidence there and... Yeah, perform the kick again.
We've spoken about how we think Stocker, he came into the team and he hasn't been out. And I think he is aware of that. He's not playing like, you know, your Kennedys and some of these players, Dow, where they don't know if they're going to play the next game. I think Stocker's got a lot more freedom. And I think in turn, that's given him a lot more confidence.
Do you think they've given him the assurance that that's the case?
I think yeah, absolutely. And I think that Stocker does that, stuffs that kick up. And he knows that we're going to play him. He knows he's part of the future. And I think that gives him more confidence to then go and go, hang on, I can do it. And then does it. And it's a win-win for Carlton. Absolutely.
I just thought it was a really good moment because I know there are certainly young players on our list who wouldn't have done that. And there are young players on all, 18 clubs.
Oh, it shows a lot about Stocker. But I also think that there'd be other players in Carlton's team that wouldn't be afforded the same luxury in terms of maintaining their spot in the ones. But I think it's a great thing. And I think it's a reward for him.
Matty Owies did his traditional sort of set shot on goal and worked his ass off to get in the back line. And the one-on-one he had with Henderson, not allowing the mark and then receiving, holding the ball, that came, it must have only been, 15, 20 seconds after he had that set shot.
It's about the fourth time he's done it this year.
I reckon he's done every single game, yeah? And it's just impressive to see.
It's great on Henderson.
Yeah, and it's perfect. Exactly right. So, yep. You know, obviously Henderson had the height, had everything going, the sit, everything going for him. And little Matty Owies did him one-on-one. It was brilliant. And the fact that, you know, he's a small forward, we know he's a goal-kicking small forward. He probably doesn't have too many other strings to his bow at this stage. That's his position. But he gets back, he works hard, and that's what you love to see.
Yeah.
For a team that, you know, we question effort sometimes.
That's a huge tackle. And shows that he's probably got a lot more of a tank than what we...
originally gave him credit
absolutely,
for.
Absolutely, yep.
So, yeah, it was a strange old game. Sad to get another loss. Our season, you look at the numbers, not looking great. What are we now? We're 6-10. Is that where we're at? I think we are. So, yep. Look, finals, we can kiss that goodbye. I mean, yep. We shouldn't have seriously been considering that for the last few weeks.
I don't think anyway, we're seriously considering it anyway.
We're at a point, though, now where we've got 6 games remaining.
Mm-hmm.
What do we want to take from the remaining 6 games? We don't want to just go through the motions and continue sort of doing what we've done. We've got 6 weeks to set ourselves up for next year and the future. What's the first thing that you are thinking, looking long term? Is there anything that stands out?
I just think that we should be playing as many kids as we can. And getting games into them and testing these players. I just really think we need to have a really good evaluation at the end of the year about what our list is and what we need from it and what we don't need. And I'm not too worried about wins necessarily. I know it's a fine balance.
The games we've got upcoming are Collingwood, North Melbourne, St Kilda,
yep.
Suns, Port Adelaide. All of those.
Yeah, we've got winnable games.
Absolutely winnable.
Yeah, absolutely.
So do we try? I mean, that's, I guess that's the balance. Do we try?
Well, if we win all those games, do we play finals?
Oh, that's a very good question. What did that give us? If we won all of them, we're 12 wins. I reckon 12 wins probably gets you in.
Six, yeah.
But again, the chances of us stringing together 6 wins
it's not
in a
happen.
Row. So I don't think any of the way you're limping into the finals that way. We've got our issues. We're not a finals team as we present at the moment, but it just shows that balance, you know, about wins.
Mm-hmm.
And how hard do you go for the wins now and in the moment to get the win, or do you look forward and maybe sacrifice the present a little bit and a couple of wins to get development into those younger kids, knowing that you are building?
Well, there's the flip side we always say about playing the kids is we don't want to see them go out and get spanked by really good sides. We are in a unique position right now, as of now, that we are playing sides that aren't in the top 8. Bar Port Adelaide. So maybe we do. This is the opportunity to play these youngsters against, you know, teams that aren't as strong. So I think it's a really good opportunity, and I think it's just a win-win for us to be able to see where we're at with some of these players. And also, I don't think we're necessarily going to get spanked by these teams. And I don't really care if we make the finals, because we're not going to. And if we did, we're not going to do anything in it anyway.
And again, it's that balancing act between getting kids in and giving them some exposure, but not putting them in when they're not quite ready, which, you know, has its drawbacks and its downside too. It's easy to say, well, play the kids. Well, do we take out the oldest players in the team?
No, take out players that aren't going to play next year.
So that's what we're looking at, yeah? So that's what we're thinking?
Yep.
Those players that don't have a future, at the club,
yep,
compared to those who do.
Yes.
And seeing what they're like. And we've banged on about it all year. We need to know what this list can do,
mm-hmm,
what the players on this list are capable of, whether they're AFL standard or not, and what they can produce.
And 6 games is a lot of time. We've seen Kennedy be awesome in 3. We've seen Dow show his best football in 2 games out of the 50 he's played. You know, we could see Setterfield hypothetically play 5 great games. We could see SPS completely turn. You know, there's a lot we can see. So let's try and get all these players.
More than a quarter of the season left. And that's what I'm sort of looking at, that we need to use these games.
Yes, absolutely.
And to grow.
Absolutely.
We can't just look and go, well, it's 1 week. We'll take it 1 week at a time, because that's bullshit. That's the wrong approach to this one. The biggest cliche in football, but it's not appropriate to this case. It's not, we're just looking 1 week ahead and we're looking at the end of the year. What do we want to see? What do we want to have achieved?
Yep.
What do we want to have tested? Questioned. That's what we need. We've got 6 weeks. It's a really good opportunity, a really good block of games to learn. And I think we need to, I think it's critical.
Yep.
So look, we put the question out to the Twitter and the Twitter world. And we've had quite a few responses that have come back, a lot sort of similar and in line with what we're talking about now. But we had Sean Vandergert, who's put in there, aim for 5 to 6 wins. That would make it 7 out of 9. and creates the winning culture. So I guess Sean's looking at going, we need that winning culture, which is true, because that's the other thing. If we lose all these games, we limp into next year. We limp to the preseason, we limp into next year. No form, no real confidence, no. So I get that.
But it's not, they're not, it's not mutually exclusive, is it? I mean, no, just because we play, just because we go with a younger list, or it doesn't mean we're going to lose.
The younger list might outperform what we've got now, and there's every chance that
they, because they actually give a shit.
Yeah, and there's every chance. So he wants a winning culture, which I agree with too. That is important.
I think it's
so
very important.
You need to have that consideration there. We've got Craig Bounds, who's about disposal efficiency and poise under pressure, goal kicking and more tackling, and talking about sort of the untested kids, giving them a role, a game. Carroll, Honey, Ramsey, Kemp. So, completely agree. Disposal efficiency and poise under pressure. They're big things to work on. We absolutely need to get that poise, and we need the decision-making under pressure, because no good teams don't have that. So, that's absolutely fair. And talking about those kids, you know, Carroll, Honey, Ramsey, Kemp, there's quite a few that are in agreeance there. Who else have we got? We've got, I think, pretty much bring in Honey, Carroll, Kemp, Jeremy Cruz, Bagger Metrics, Harrison, Cadle, 19, they're all in agreements that way.
Playing the kids, giving the kids more of a run, yeah.
And that's, I mean, do you do it in a block? Do you give them, 3 or 4 weeks each and stagger it? It'll be interesting if that's the case there. We've got Downward saying, no more Noons, Setterfield, Plowman.
I don't agree with Plowman.
Yeah, I think we know, love him or hate him, and most probably don't love him. If I sort of politically correct there, he has a place, he has a role where we have a deficiency back there. Noons, if we're talking about bringing kids, we have to consider who
he's the
isn't
kind of
playing.
But he's always going to be that kind of person that will be on the fringe. And if, I think he'll suffer as a result
and
of that.
And Setterfield sort of falls between the two, between the kids and sort of the mature players. Mm. On the list, I mean, what do you do with a Will Setterfield? What camp is he in your eyes?
Well, I think he is a player that we should continue to not necessarily play for he doesn't deserve to play next week. Simple as that. But we need to know,
seen enough though? I mean,
well,
it's.
I mean,
is he at risk?
Let's be honest. A month ago, people are saying we'd seen enough of Kennedy and Dow to know.
I think contract expires this year.
Yeah, but I mean, is that fair to say a month ago people would have said we've seen enough of Dow, we've seen enough of Kennedy to know what we're going to expect?
I think Dow's different because he's younger. Kennedy, possibly.
Yep. So, look, I would like to, like Dow and like I've said with SPS, I'd like to see these players play as much as we can to then have a better opinion or a better evaluation of their worth at the end of the year.
Tim W, the great Tim W.
Yep.
Transition from defensive half. We're very slow by the time it gets to forward 50. No shots on goal.
True.
Yeah. He's probably summed it up.
I mean, that's why we got Sard and Williams to, Sard is that player that has a high inside 50s. With that booming kick, with that speed, that's what we're trying to promote. But
the problem with that too is the targets. We haven't had those targets, those leading targets coming up the ground. Obviously, Mackay has been very good all year at being that, but he's had very little support. So, you move it quickly, but if there's not much ahead of you, you can be in a little trouble, and that's where we do sort of turn it over. So, again, another balancing act.
We saw that one great play yesterday where we moved it quickly. It didn't result in a goal, but we also commented that, geez, there were times when we went wide instead of having a look inside, and we had players available in the through the corridor. And if you make those kind of plays, that's what Tim is talking about. Yep. That transition is quicker, and it provides the
opposition can't set up defensively.
Exactly.
And we're therefore not necessarily relying on pinpoint accurate kicks and, disposal.
Yeah.
Hitting those players and threading the needle, which we know we don't have at the moment.
Well, and that's the flip side, isn't it?
Great.
Because do you really trust a team that's kicking at 60% for the game, their kicking efficiency, to be threading it into the midfield turnovers too much?
The Geelong game, we were burnt from that. We saw in the first half that did happen when they did try to move it inside. De Koning missed the target, didn't hit the target, and bang, straight away a turnover.
And Harry did it as well in the first quarter. Yeah, I mean, players playing a little bit beyond their role.
And Cam Dempster, focus on how Clarkson likes his morning coffee. So it's going to be an interesting one, the whole Clarkson. He's given his assurances he'll be at Hawthorn next year, and everyone keeps saying he's a man of his word.
But also, things are changing.
He can't be happy with that situation. And it is crazy to not think. You are talking about one of the best coaches of all time. I mean, our personal dislike for him aside, from past history, if we're objectively looking at it, mm-hmm. he has got to be one of the best coaches, most successful coaches of all time, who is available. At the moment, we've got a young, still, you know, somewhat untried, unproven coach who's, you know, the captain of the ship that's having a review at the moment. So it'd be foolish for us to not explore, to not think about potentially getting. I mean, we got the fears of the whole Mick Malthouse fiasco that we had, and that set the club back. I think they're completely different. I don't think it's a fair sort of a analogy or comparison, the Malthouse and Clarkson.
Yeah. No, I think I can see why there is that analogy, though, but I think we are in a different spot.
Bob, kids, kids, and kids. So a similar theme. Previously, Amanda Mace playing together as a team. If blokes aren't going to play next year, give spot to youngsters.
Yep.
And you use the example of Casbolt.
Totally agree.
Absolutely. That's pretty much sums up what we...
Why give up a spot?
We're talking about, absolutely agree with that one. They're Myers Blues winning as many games while playing kids.
Ideal scenario.
Dream scenario, absolutely. And Max White's put so many injuries and Honey wasn't even an emergency.
Yeah.
Which, going back, we've sort of touched on.
This has been weeks in a row. The team selection's been dreadful this year.
I don't think we need a review to determine that.
We've been talking about Honey and coming in as coming into the team, and then how Casbolt and some of these other players have, you know... I know there's a structural need sometimes, but gee whiz.
Sometimes you've got to look beyond that, though, and look to the future. And I think that's the difference with playing Casbolt there. It's the need for that week.
Yeah.
We've gone past that, is what we're saying, So we're saying we're looking to the future. So I think you just cannot select him based on our thinking that way. I don't care about structure. If we're not quite right structurally, I don't think we've been quite right structurally any game this year with the team selection.
Yeah.
Anyway, but don't play somebody like that is horrifically out of form because you're working on structure for that game at the detriment of developing younger players.
Before we forget, quick clip and clap. I'll give you some names.
Oh, we've gone ahead, haven't we? Yeah, I've missed votes too.
Yeah, exactly. So just quickly, I'll give you your clip and clap. Lockie Fogarty.
Clip.
Kennedy.
Clap.
Noons.
Clap.
DeConning.
Clap.
Owies.
Clap.
Dow.
Clip.
Mackay.
Clip.
Eddie Betts.
Clip.
Newman.
Clap.
SPS.
Clip.
Sam Walsh.
Clap.
Wiedering.
Clap.
Ed Curno.
Let's go clip.
Saad.
Clap.
Silvani.
Clap.
Zach Williams.
Clap.
Paddy Cripps.
Clap.
Liam Stocker.
Clap.
Jack Martin.
Clip.
Will Setterfield.
Clip.
Lockie Plowman.
Clip.
Tom Williamson.
You know what? I'm going to give him a clap. We gave him a clip last time he was in there. We weren't so sure. He came in, again, you know, tough circumstances. I thought he played quite well, especially the first half. I thought he was actually okay, and he performed much better than he has for most of the year and somewhat surprised me. So,
just talking about Paddy Cripps, who looked to injure himself, his left lower leg, when was landed on by Hawkins.
We talked about himself in those positions, doesn't he?
We've got to start thinking about, we've just signed Cripps to, you know, he's part of the long-term future of the club. Do we look at resting him in terms of, he's obviously carrying so many injuries. Do we just want him to...
All year. He finally started looking fresh. And then last week, we know, hurt his ankle, is in a moon boot for most of the week. Comes into the team. Hurts a lower leg again, and we're playing him in the ruck, you know, against the big bodies in a ruck, a position he's not familiar with in the forward line when he's been injured. We're talking about protecting him. That's probably the opposite of doing that. I'm more than happy to give Cripps a rest.
Well, if we're talking about
get him right,
we're not relying on wins. No, we're not trying to make finals. Give him a rest.
We know what he can do. He's tried and he's true. So that creates another spot for one of the youngsters coming through. Or in his case, it requires players to stand up and test them more than what they might have been, where they're able to sort of sit below him.
And with Dock out as well, I mean, it gives players like Wiedering and Walsh to take on more of that leadership role in a kind of more...
Well, there's a bit of a trial run.
I was going to say, I mean, they do show leadership on the ground, but it will be more in a...
Oh, they'll have to step up and they'll do it. And, you know, the good signs we've seen from them, they'll have the position and they'll have the accountability for it. It's a great testing ground for them as well. But I think that's exactly what we're talking about. Sort of anyone who's not part of the future doesn't get a game necessarily. And anybody who's tried and true, and if they're injured that way, you mentioned Martin before, get them right.
Yep.
Give the opportunity. That's where the opportunities come for kids in a meaningful way.
And I don't think we are that, either of us have great faith in how we've been managing injuries and injured players this year. So I'd be inclined to rest him because we need him right for next year. VFL, no game. We had a bye this week. So we'll
go to votes.
Oh, votes. Sorry. Yep.
That's it. this is an easy one. We
discussed this one together. Walsh, Wiedering.
Two standouts.
Easy.
And incredible games. You know, we've sort of focused on a few of the negatives here. We'll focus on the positives here. Sammy Walsh, 36 disposals, two last quarter goals.
Kick straight when no one else could.
Just keeps doing everything, heart and soul. He's a determined little bugger. He's amazing. It's an incredible game. He'll get Brownlow votes again for this game in a losing team.
Yep.
And Wiedering should as well.
Yep.
The two of them were the top three players.
So the three was a bit of a...
Third was very hard to
sort of
pick.
Roll of the dice, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a bit of a dearth. You know, like there was a gap, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm.
We've come up with Adam Saad.
Yep.
But not a huge amount of confidence. But yeah, I mean, if Walsh and Wiedering could take all the points, we'd...
Lucky it wasn't out of five. So like we said, VFL bye this week. So we've got Collingwood this...
Which is disappointing. The timing of VFL, and it has been for years, it seems... Just, I mean, we understand you've got to have it if there's uneven numbers that way. For Carlton, they always seem to come at terrible times.
Particularly in a game when we had, I think, more poorer players than good ones. Yeah. So it might mean that, you know, we'll talk about it now, that we've got Collingwood Sunday 3:20 at the MCG. So
I'll ask you firstly, what are your confidence levels like for this one, seeing that they did us earlier in the year when they shouldn't have?
Yeah, Collingwood were a different team at the start of the year. I think they still had a fair bit of confidence and they kind of fell off the edge kind of pretty much after that Carlton game.
We're talking about planning for the future and making decisions based on that. This is not a game that we want to lose and go 0-2 for the season against Collingwood. Yeah, maybe throw that theory out.
Yeah, but sometimes, pride has to be stood down a little bit when it comes
a bit
to things
more
like
though that. When it's
Collingwood,
doesn't
it? But you don't. It's stick to what we're saying. Stick to the plan. So let's talk about out. So
set a field for me.
Yep,
has to come out. I'm guessing I'm not going to get an argument from you.
No, from me.
That one.
We put Jake Martin there. Has been down, and you know that goes back to: do we need to rest him and get him right? We don't know.
He's not producing what he should be.
Yep,
I think it's a legitimate question to put out there.
Yeah,
it is. He should definitely be in the group considering, you know, that we might consider to drop.
Williamson, I thought, was all right. I think he showed a few signs of being Tom Williamson that we actually grew to love.
But again, sort of last in, first out.
Yeah,
so he falls there. I mean,
I don't think you'd bring in someone like a Cottrell though to replace him. I think he played a good enough game that he might hold him a spot in terms of that. SPS, I think they'll be inclined to play him. And like we said, we want six games to go.
Jack, but he's got stuff to work on. I mean, I'd love to be his coach and give it a crack and, you know, show some of that footage. Because I reckon you and I, if we had those editing skills, we'd be able to pick up a lot of key moments. It's just going to improve him as a footballer. It's plain clear for us to see when you're watching closely. So hopefully he picks up and improves those traits because he's got 6 weeks to do it potentially.
We've also put Jack Nunes down, but I mean, I just think after picking up...
I thought his game was all right.
Yeah, he's not going to get dropped.
24 touches and, you know, he's still that sort of bigger body there. But again, you know, he's someone that is probably part of that group and would be come under some consideration.
But here's the, you know, you can't have too many outs when you don't have any ins. And
Well, let's focus on the ins then.
So we've got Jones, who missed the game due to soreness of the knee. So
Jones, we're not sure. I think it might have been a back or so.
Casbolt knee, Jones
so back. Fingers crossed he's okay. Because.
But again, let's talk about Jones is part of 2022. So let's err on the side of caution. If he's not right, don't play him.
No, don't go near it.
Particularly with a back, because we don't have a great record with the back.
Yeah.
Or the calf or the ankle.
Name every other part of the body.
Zach Fisher's obviously in the
close.
Vicinity.
Yep.
He was named an emergency.
But does he play? Does he come straight back into the senior team? Or does he go through the VFL?
It's hard.
And maybe he would have played the VFL.
I think he would have played VFL, but it's not ideal.
What do you think, though? Does he come? Is he a guarantee?
No.
We do tend to do that.
He hasn't played a lot of footy.
We select blokes off after big breaks, and they come back in and 90%.
Martin. I think Martin's held in a bit of a higher regard than Fisher. Fisher's a really good player, but I think he needs to. Probably he's missed so much footy that he probably would be ideal to come through the twos. I think there's no question that Zach Fisher's got a spot at Carlton in the future. Yep. So I don't think we're desperate to show his worth. So
others that come under consideration then.
Matty Cottrell, obviously named an emergency.
And the medical sub, so he's very much thereabouts.
Honey must have done something wrong. He can't
get
a game. And do you know what? He's missing footy now. He's missing footy because we've named him a couple of times.
We don't know what we can get from him at AFL level. He's been pretty consistent at VFL level.
Yep.
He brings something that I think we need in the team, some aggression, some speed. We lack speed. He's got all that. Do we get to the end of the year and just not know he's in his second year? As a rookie, his contract will be up there, and we won't have learnt much about him. Hopefully, he gets a look in.
Yeah, and that's the same as with Ramsey and Durden. And you're right, not playing VFL this week really hurts their chances. Are you gonna make that much of a drastic change? I don't think Carlton will, when there hasn't been a twos game to review and kind of promote, but that's against what we say.
The other one we should be considering there, we've mentioned Liam Jones. Levi Casbolt is got to be on that list if his knee's okay and he's supposedly fit and ready to go.
Look, we say it with him
our position hasn't
all year,
changed.
But I can understand, is he a player that you do play just to for the integrity of the, and we're talking about the integrity of like the structure. Does he hurt? Are we that, we talk about we've got 3 out of 10 talls playing. I don't think he should play, but we've got 3 out of the available 10 talls playing. Do we just have to have talls just so the team works?
But if he's not doing anything, he was getting in the way his last game.
I know.
He was a hindrance.
I don't think he should be playing.
He's 200 centimetres.
I don't think he should
be playing. That's all he's bringing at the moment.
I know, but does it change our game plan too much when we've got barely any talls?
If he was working as a decoy, a genuine decoy,
well, I think that's what he is at the moment. He's a genuine decoy.
I don't know if anyone's putting any time into him whatsoever. He's fumbling
It's going to be a big change to the game plan. It should be a change to the game plan if we're playing that short. But
it's just like Tom DeConin gets through the year. Unscathed.
Yeah, or I don't know what
So that's a worry. But look, for me, no. It's not.
I agree.
It's just a no. And I know you agree. And you didn't think they would select him.
The last 3 weeks, I think it's the last 3 weeks I've called that he's been dropped, but he hasn't.
There's every reason they will.
Yeah, I've lost faith in.
They will, if that's based on previous form, if he's right and ready to go.
So maybe if I say that they won't bring him in, or they will bring him in, they won't.
Yeah.
Bit of reverse psychology.
Yeah, I like your logic there. So, and just speaking of sort of injuries, we have heard.
Yep.
And it was always brought up on the Fox coverage that Charlie Curnow looks like he's ready to make his well-awaited, overdue comeback to Australian rules football via the VFL team and supposedly for a half of football. I'm just nervous hearing that. I'll wait with bated breath. It gets me nervous. It's fantastic if that's the case. And he does come back, but you never know, do you, Charlie Curnow?
No, you don't. And again, it'd be awesome to see him just from a,
I wouldn't be enjoying watching that half of football.
No, it'd be very hard. It'd be as hard as watching Doc the first few games where, you're just kind of anticipating an injury. But
so hopefully that's positive news.
Yeah.
He's coming back 2 years, I think it is, isn't it? He's missed. Poor bloke. Been through a lot.
It would be great to play some football to then have a full preseason. So,
well, that's the thing. I mean, it's a tricky one. We're late into the season.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people are of the opinion that you rest him and you get him right and you don't risk him.
Yeah.
I think when you've missed that much football,
he needs to have some touch.
He's got to exactly right.
Or else he'll miss a lot of the season next year by just, you know, by purely missing that touch of football.
Yep. So do it right.
Yep.
Do not sort of push him. Err on the side of caution. Yeah. But I'm okay with him getting 2 or 3 weeks in the VFL.
Yep.
Limited game time. You can control it. You can't do it at AFL. And it would be great to see him play a couple of games.
Be a reason
at AFL level with low expectations.
Be a huge reason to, you know, imagine the excitement levels of watching him back. And, you know, in the similar vein is obviously Brody Kemp. We hope to see him get a run this year.
And we probably should have mentioned Kemp's name earlier when we're talking about those younger players and the kids coming through, because he's playing everything. Yeah.
Playing the VFL, and
you can.
We've got high hopes for him, so all the best for him.
So, yeah, Charlie Curnow, it should be a positive story, but we're always a little bit nervous when you hear that name.
Understandably.
So,
imagine when Marchbank's ready to go.
Oh, boy.
That'll be nerve-wracking as well.
Yep, certainly. So, look, we've got Collingwood at the G, Sunday 3:20. Let's hope it's good weather.
Big rivalry game.
Let's hope it's a big crowd.
Yep.
And we get the win.
Mm-hmm.
But we also see a whole lot of growth and get some excitement because there hasn't been a whole lot of that this year.
No.
As a Blues supporter.
And I think people can cop losses a lot easier when you can see a lot of growth coming through the players. So,
yep. Get the win against Collingwood. That's a big one.
All right, Chris.
All right, Andy.
I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
We are the Blue Baggers.